This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, thank you for a great opportunity in your presence, Father, to, as Dolph has said so many times, that we can create a space for your Holy Spirit to minister inside of us, and pray that you would do just that, and that we would not receive from man, but from your word and from you. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Father, we give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you guys sent me and Ranelle away to Cape Town 6 months ago, and Ross asked that we would just come and give some feedback and share a word and say that we are still alive and that we still love you guys. Thank you for sending us, thank you for also continuing the friendships that we had. It's a wonderful privilege for us. I've got so many things on my heart because I haven't seen you for a long time. So if I end up preaching 2 to 3 hours, and you must please forgive me. That's how we do it there in Cape Town. Too many things to say, too little time. Just some feedback before we start. I just want to let you know, as Ross asked, that I want to say that we are doing really well. Ranelle's doing well. Little Daniel's doing well. He's learning French and Xhosa and Afrikaans, and he's speaking a mixture of that, so we don't understand half of what he's saying. But it's really amazing, and Ranelle's also doing well. She's making sure that Bernie, who's preaching there this morning, isn't causing too much havoc. She finished a master's degree end of last year, but it's gone up to this week for her to finally submit everything. So, studies is over. We've had an amazingly blessed time in Cape Town. The most amazing thing is that we were received there, amazingly. We didn't know what to expect, but that happened, and they received us and they've loved us. Which was a blessing, still is a blessing. The other day we left a wedding of one of the congregation members there, two of them that got married. It's hard to get married when you're only one, but like two of them got married. And when we left, Ranelle said, ons het nou nuwe vriende. And then we realized that within 6 months a lot has happened, and we've made a new community that side. We have just a few stats to just say that we have been doing something. We haven't only been enjoying the good coffee and sea view that we have, but we've had about 6 baptisms and 10 baby dedications and 4 weddings and even 1 funeral. For ministry, we've had about 200 coffees, 40 lunches, 40 breakfast, and 15 braais. We're looking to up this stats on the braais. It's new to that environment, so we're trying to bring this anointing there. And we've had about 60 services and even had 1 person rescued out of a cult. So it's been great. And we're very excited to see what the Lord is doing. While I was sitting there, and this is not part of what I want to say, I just felt in my heart to say and to encourage you and say, never become too mature for the gospel. We can sometimes become so grown up that we cannot take Jesus at his word anymore. And it's so beautiful to hear Dolph having that testimony about his house and the sale and his prophets. Such a testimony of childlikeness that's still very real in his heart. And I want to encourage you and ask you if you can still have those conversations with the Lord, or have you grown up in the world too much? Furthermore, I want to touch on a few things that the Lord has been doing in that side, and I'm going to share out of what I believe the Lord is doing in Cape Town, and then lead into a specific word that I feel for us this morning. But our themes for the year has been three themes that we're focusing on, and it's intimacy, community, and mission. And we are rotating those themes throughout the year to make sure that we grow in intimacy with God, we grow in community with each other, and we grow in understanding His mission and embracing His mission. Okay? So this block is going to say intimacy, you're going to say community, you're going to say mission. Or are you too grown up? Okay, 1, 2, 3. That's okay. So that's been the focus for the year, and it's been amazing to see what the Lord has been sharing with us in all three of those areas. Intimacy, which I'm going to focus on this morning, is built on a scripture that I got last year. I think I even shared it here, where Martha and Mary was engaging with the Lord at their house, and where Jesus told Martha, "Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but there's one thing that is necessary. It's the thing that Mary is doing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him." Where Jesus Himself is saying that whatever you are doing is not important if you're not doing the most important thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him. So we're asking ourselves that question, and that's a very good question to ask yourself. Is that the thing that you do before you do anything else? Or are you doing so many things that that's a nice to have? So intimacy and community, understanding first of all that we are brothers and sisters for real, and secondly understanding that the bride, the church, is Jesus' bride, and it's also His body. Nothing can be more intimate to you than your bride and your own body. So our relationship, if we want to have a proper relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus, who is the head, and we don't have a proper one with His body or His bride, then our relationship with Him will never be what it should be. If I'm married, but I don't want my wife's body or she mine, it's not going to work. And if I've got a friend, but I do not want to do it, I just dislike his wife and I make it known, then me and that friend will also not be friends for very long. So to understanding our relationship with church, what it is, and the Lord is redefining a lot of what it is and how it should look like. And I'm also taking that outside the four walls, and then mission, and just the understanding that there is the Grand Mission Day, which is God's mission on earth, and His mission on earth summarized is to reconcile all things back to Himself. And then it begs the question, what is my mission? But the Word of God says that we should be imitators of God as beloved children. So what God is doing, we should be doing. So if God's mission is the reconciliation of all things back to Himself, then that's your mission. That's your mission. That is your mission. It's not worthwhile wasting your time on anything else that's not related. How that plays out is where specific callings and specific areas and specific giftings comes into play, and you struggle with the Lord to find out where do I fit in. But that is the ultimate aim, is to see all people reconciled back unto Him. And we've just realized that we cannot do that if we're not intimate with Him. And we cannot do that alone, as even Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. So you need intimacy with Jesus, community with each other, in order to be successful in His mission. But aligning our hearts to doing nothing else but that. Just a beautiful testimony about how that happened, or how these things play out, is yesterday we had a lunch, and there's a friend who I've known from university, and he was part of quite a hostile atheist group that always persecuted us, that were standing up for the word of God a lot, quite aggressive sometimes. And yesterday he was at this lunch and I was sitting next to him, and it's long story how that happened, but across from the table was another guy who was also a pastor, and his friend that's radically saved a while back, and they didn't know this guy is an atheist and quite aggressive as in that the way I understand him, and but he's an amazing guy, and he's an awesome guy. But then how the Lord just set him up, hearing the three of us testifying the whole time about these incredibly intimate meetings with Jesus, and how healings that has happened and amazing miracles, and he just sat there like dead quiet listening, and I thought, what is he thinking? You know, because if I went to him with an argument, he can shoot my argument down. But if I go to him with, I know Jesus and this is the miracles, you know, it happened earlier this year that Renal got a bit sick, and then at some stage on that day, that specific day, a friend called me up and said, hey, your wife's really not doing well. This is escalating quite badly. She had a headache, like she couldn't see out of her eyes. She never gets migraines, so it can't be that. And she's feeling all dizzy and stuff. And we went to her and we were like, oh, this is really bad. I don't know what's happening. You know, if your wife and your children get sick, then your old guy's like, oh, this is going to be a hectic week ahead. So we were like praying and saying, God, heal her in Jesus' name. You know, all the faith we could have, we could, you know. And we asked her, how are you feeling? She says, And in that moment, something beautiful happened. I'm not going to preach on that now. I'm just going to drop it. But in that moment, I just realized that Jesus told me that you've now been using my name as a recipe to get your wife healed, and kind of, you know, conjuring up faith and saying, you know, whereas I've commanded you to do all things in my name. You don't even have to say it. The word of God says, all whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I can't brush my teeth and say, in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus. So it means the way that I do it is as if it's him. And then the most amazing thing happened, and it's happened a couple of times, where in that moment I just, it's weird, but you kind of feel like Jesus. And I just walked up to her, and I just knew in my mind what was going to happen. And I touched the chin, and I said, you're healed now. And she looked up, and her eyes went like this. And she was completely healed in that moment. And I shared that with amongst these guys, with this atheist friend of mine next to me, and I thought, what on earth is this guy thinking? But if we don't have that, you know, the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to have faith for things like that, then you need to engage the Word, which is the way you grow faith, and the Word of God is Jesus. So it's reading the Word and spending time with the Word. It's going to increase your faith, and you're going to be able to fulfill God's mission. So a side note is that some of you might remember that you prayed for my grandfather, who was an atheist, a couple of years back. And my grandfather got radically saved. And testifying quite a while back, I remember testifying about that also. It was the most beautiful thing, and I don't have time to go into the whole story, but it's a heart-wrenching story how I got saved. And then I just want us to quickly pray for this friend of mine, 2x2. I'm not going to say his name, but we're going to stand in faith for that, okay? The service is going to be quite practical, so this is the first of the practicals. Turn to each other, 2x2, and let's pray for this guy. And if there's anyone else that you know that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is Lord, who's rejecting that, throw their names in there and quickly pray for the salvation of them. Okay, let's go. I want us to focus now again our hearts on intimacy with Jesus. And I feel that the Lord just wants to do something in a few of our hearts. It's also been convicted lately to write down the things that God wants, that God is saying or that He wants to do. So if you don't have anything to write down with, imagine the God of the universe wants to speak to your heart this morning and you just forget it. So make sure you've got something to write down the things that the Lord wants to do in your heart. If it's really Him, then it's worthwhile remembering. Intimacy with God is sometimes something that's hard to define. And I just want to share a few testimonies of how I've experienced the closeness of the Lord and how that has impacted my life. It kind of links to this quote of A.W. Tozer that I've read. And he said that him himself being someone that sought the presence of God and that sought intimacy with God is the only thing that's important in his life, said that others before me have gone much further into these holy mysteries than I have done. But if my fire is not large, it is yet real. And there may be those who can light their candle at its flame. And so as we share testimonies of how He has touched us, then maybe it can just, get us to draw close. And then Him touching us. I remember couple of years back, and I was walking somewhere, and I was really overjoyed by something. I can't remember what it was, and I was walking up a street in Stellenbosch, and I was looking up to the sky. I was like, Lord, You're so amazing. Thank You for doing this. Thank You for being so great, and feeling like dancing, but I don't dance, so then I didn't dance, but and in that moment, as if He was looking straight into my eyes, He said, don't look up to me. Look next to you. I'm walking here next to you. And I just got this incredible sense of like, Jesus is actually here, walking along with me. And there was another day that I was spending time with the Lord, praying, and the next moment, the same way, He said, hey, I'm going to come and sit right across this table from you now to speak to you. Is that okay? And I just, once again, I was just overwhelmed by the fact that Jesus is literally here and wants to speak to me now. And in those moments, the things He would say is things that I have to be crazy to believe about myself. But oftentimes we think when we see Jesus, we would hear Him, calling us out on things we do wrong and kind of giving us commandments to obey and things to do. Where actually most of the time He just wants to tell you how much He loves you. And it has been the most amazing experience to hear His words of love about me, even in my darkest moments where I feel that I'm messing up. And for some weird reason, sometimes we feel far from the Lord when we've messed up, and then we kind of stay in that farness until we emotionally feel better, and then we move closer again. Whereas the Lord has actually given us the key to move through that rubbish straight into His presence, accept His forgiveness, which is the greatest catalyst for intimacy ever. If you go to someone and say, I'm messing up again, and He's saying, I know, I love you, I paid for that, just come here. So we are always welcome to enter into that space, and Jesus is saying it's the most important space. I've told this story here also, but another moment when I was worshiping Jesus and seeing his glory in my spirit's eye, and the next moment God tells me, do you know that great, amazing, magnificent, all-powerful God that you're worshiping, as if he's out there, is living in his fullness, is living inside of you? And I was also, I felt like I was going to explode. How is that possible that he's inside of me? And those little moments just makes life worthwhile. And in those little moments when those things happen, it doesn't really matter what else is going on. It just fades. It just fades in the light of his glorious love and his face. I remember worshiping the Lord on my own, saying, Lord, I'm not going to stop worshiping until I see the fire in your eyes. And I remember I was sitting there worshiping, and the next moment I just had this glimpse of his face. It was dim, but it was like I could see his eyes, and his eyes looked at me, and I remember that whole day after that, I felt like I've been touched. I was made clean. I was so rejuvenated by the fact that I just had a glimpse of his eyes, that I could see them. So many beautiful things. You know, the one time I asked the Lord, "Hey, so," I was struggling to hear from him, because once again I went to that space where I almost want to hear what he wants me to do. And I wasn't hearing anything. I'm like, Lord, why am I not hearing anything? And he said, because you're not having just normal conversations with me. Like, why are you treating me like a boss when I'm just a father? You know? And then he said, like, why don't you ever ask me how I'm doing? I said, Lord, like, what does that even mean? I said, Jesus, how are you doing? And his answer was a sermon, which I can now preach, of the way that he relates to emotions while being anchored on his truth. His answer was, as in Scripture, when people ask Jesus simple questions, his answer like blows your mind. It was the same, and it was just, in a sense, cultivating a normal relationship with him. And that should be our all. And Jesus is saying that, hey guys, there's one thing that's necessary, and it is this. And there's one thing that I wrote a while back that I just want to read as we move to what I actually want to say, but I want to invite you into this space. I want to ask you, like, are we giving God that space for him to utterly overwhelm us with his love? Because that's the thing. If that's the thing, our commandment is to love God and love our neighbor. But the word of God says we can only love because he loved us first. So if you are not first receiving his love, then you cannot possibly fulfill those commandments and try to love anybody or even him. So we need to position ourselves to receive his love above the other activities in our life. If that means you have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, then it just means you need to go to bed at 9 o'clock in the evening, because it isn't more important than catching up on Instagram before you go to bed. We laugh, but half of us do exactly that. So, something that I wrote, I just want to read it. It seems that tears, every time in these moments, I find myself crying. When I'm overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, I find myself crying. And I've seen that with everyone else, that every time you get overwhelmed with the Lord, then you end up crying. I ask God, why are we crying when we meet you? He said, it seems that tears are the expression of the outermost of all states of being, of our joy and sorrow, of our peace and turmoil, of pain and healing. It seems so especially when we meet God and recognize that our being cannot contain the glory of the encounter. It ever so often resorts to taking us to the floor in a pool of holy tears, as if the flood of living water that enters our spirit had to find a place to overflow through our natural being. Let us be a people who dare to allow God to take us to the outermost, to our outermost states, and to be overwhelmed by the inexpressible magnitude of encountering and being utterly loved and transformed by the Almighty God, Creator and Savior of the universe. Do you know that He wants to spend time with you? And do you know that as I've walked with Him, it's the one thing that I see that most Christians do not do. It's the first thing that the enemy wants to take out of our lives, out of our Christianity. We would have 2, 3, 4 hours a week for church and small group. But if I ask you, if you've spent 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a week in the presence of Jesus, then most people that I'm ministered to speak to, somehow, for the weirdest and wonderful, most wonderful different reasons, just don't. Right now. But I will. Or I should. So, I wanted to encourage you to that space all the more. Or, you know, some of us hear these things and we're actually saying, well, I just do not know how to enter this space. And some of us hear this and we say, well, I actually don't believe that He loves me that much or wants that space with me. I'm not that kind of a guy or girl, which is rubbish. And some of us think, well, maybe I'm okay with where I'm at. And I'm fine with a lesser spirituality than some of the things that I've heard. So either of that might be you, and let the Holy Spirit work as He wants to work. But I've got a specific feeling on my heart that I felt the Holy Spirit wants to speak about us who do not really believe that we can have that, that do not really feel that we can enter because of us, or do not really know that space because we're kind of shying away from it. And I want us to reassure our hearts that because of the work of Jesus, we can actually do this. We can skip the next slide. We can maybe come back to the next slide, but we can go to the slide with the scripture on. So often we feel overwhelmed, guilty. We don't feel that we're good enough, and we come before the Lord, and it's kind of shallow because we don't really know how to engage Him, because either we've been there, we haven't actually spent time with Him for a week, so now we're feeling guilty about that fact. Or you were really nasty with your wife last night and you hurt her in what you said, and you feel guilty about that. Or you were just talking too much yesterday, talking too much rubbish. Or the Holy Spirit laid something on your heart and you actually didn't do it. Or you watch pornography or whatever it is, and now all of a sudden you feel that you cannot enter that space. And I just want to come and tell you that that's a lie. The most beautiful times in His presence is when you come with that stuff, repent of it, receive His forgiveness immediately, because that's the gospel, and then be inside His presence with a fresh revelation of the fact that you are forgiven and free. But we need to reassure our hearts of this. Look at this beautiful scripture. It says, By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall reassure our heart before him. We need to sometimes reassure our hearts before him. Because our hearts go to weird places. For whenever our heart condemns us, you know, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And if your heart is condemning you, and some, for whatever reason, saying that I cannot, I'm not that guy who has that space with the Lord, and I can't ever see that I'm special enough, good enough, holy enough, da, 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 to walk in the miracles of God, in the presence of God, and all of these beautiful things, then it's your own heart that is condemning you, and it is against the word of God for your heart to condemn you. The word of God says that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's so beautiful that we should recognize when our own hearts are condemning us, because it is never the Lord who condemns us, but it is our hearts who condemn us. And we need to remind ourselves who we've been made to be through salvation, and that we are welcome, and that we are honored in the universe through all creation as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's who we are. So, we're going to do a little exercise, and then we're going to do another exercise, and then we're going to do a little last little exercise. As I would like us to just declare truth over ourselves in this next while, and to receive truth from the Lord over ourselves. So that we can position ourselves to receive his love in incomprehensible ways, and to grow in intimacy with him. You remember I said the scripture of Mary and Martha, where Jesus himself said there's one thing that's necessary. Do you get that? Jesus himself said there's one thing that's necessary. Not anything else, Martha. One thing. To sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said it. Are we doing it? The biggest blessing in our faith lies in that place. You hear me? Okay, so now let's get ourselves positioned to actually be in such a place. What we're going to do now is we're going to stand up, and then we are going to read all these scriptures out loud that declares our identity as children of God that is welcome before him. That's the first one. The second one that we're going to do is we're going to pray for each other as we sit, and we're going to trust God for a prophetic word. That sounds fancy for some of you. We're going to trust God that through you, he would speak to the other person next to you about their identity and who God sees them to be, okay? Who does God see them to be? It's sometimes easier for us to first see what Scripture says about us and then hear it from someone else, because our own hearts just struggle to comprehend the fact that we are so loved. So we're first going to read Scripture, then we're going to pray for each other. You're going to trust God. Whatever beautiful words is coming through you, through the Holy Spirit, through you into that person, you're going to release over them. Okay, you're going to speak what you feel Jesus is saying about him. And then we're going to have the worship band up, and we're going to spend time with Jesus, asking him it for ourselves. What do you say when you look at me? Am I welcome? Am I loved? Like, do you want to spend time with me? Just to break down some of those walls. Is that okay? So I'm going to read this, and then just to lead us into it, and then you're going to stand up and read with me. It starts and says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Our citizenship is in heaven. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you ready to declare truth over your life? Let's stand up, please. And on the count of three, you're going to read with me through this. Is that okay? Great. I want to hear it, okay? Release it over yourself and over each other in faith. One, two, three. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Our citizenship is in heaven. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that? That's powerful. You can have your seats. If we prophesy over each other, we hear from God what he's saying about this individual, and we are releasing it. Okay? It says, prophecy speaks exhortation, edification, and comfort. It essentially focuses on the identity of that person. It says, you are a beloved daughter of the Lord. He has called you for wonderful, great things. He has made you a mother to the nations. You will be restored and a restorer of relationships. Da, 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 da. Whatever you feel the Lord saying about who that person is, you speak that. Is that okay? Okay? So give each other time, one for the other. Whoever's the youngest, you start. Okay? Whatever you see, whatever you feel, release it. Is it clear? Let's do that now. I also just feel to say, I feel that the Holy Spirit is prompting me to say that we do sin, but a right understanding of God would draw us closer to him rather than push us away when we sin. Because only when we go to him is there opportunity for repentance, forgiveness, cleansing, wholeness. If you understand him, then your sin will draw you closer, because that's where you deal with it. It won't push you away. Amen? Okay. So we're going to spend a couple of minutes and worship. And I don't even really want you to sing along. Willem sings beautiful on his own, and Melanie can harmonize. But you are more than welcome to sing. But what I want you to do is to ask the Father, who do you say I am? Because what I want us to go to is a place where we understand that we are welcome and that God desires for us to have an intimate, close relationship with Him. Hear the invitation of the Father. Ask Him, who am I? Who do you say I am? Am I welcome? How do you feel about me? Ask Him that. And then as He speaks to you, if you receive that word, I want you to just stand up and start worshiping in that place, okay? If you receive that word, if you hear something, something sparks in your heart, then we can start worshiping with us, and then we'll close the service like that. And we trust God that He's going to, either He has already, or He will now speak something into your heart that will make a lasting effect in your relationship with Him. Amen. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You, Father, would create in us childlikeness, that we'd run to You as our little ones run to us when we come home, Father. With the same confidence and innocence, Father, that we would run to You as the Father. We say we must become like these little children if we are to inherit the kingdom. Father, I pray that we would not be so mature in the world that we would not be able to do that. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that You would show us who You are and who You say that we are, Father, and that we would be overwhelmed by that. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Will You continue to do this work, Father, in us? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.